We're back after a what feels like millennia. It probably wasn't. It was whole last year that we were last here. I think it was even November, in fact. So I've been here the whole of December. Just been busy. Christmas nights out and stuff. Then Christmas happened and all sorts of other nonsense. So it's all been good. And we're back here and we've pulled together. I think coincidentally, and I didn't actually realise this until I was checking the calendar, that it's the exact same panel that you had the last time we were on the show. So we've got James Hart.
Hello. Yes, this is we started recording this straight after the end of the other one, so if there's no news stories, that's exactly why.
You know, I did that at another show last night. We just sat there with the same clothes on, kind of like 5 minutes later, and continued. And we're just going to release them one week after the other. It's quite an efficient way of doing it if you're not actually dealing with news or anything. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm all right. Literally, while we were doing the warm up, it warmed up in my studio. I did have a scarf on when I got down here. It's only -3, which is nothing really, but to us poor southern softies, it's a bit nippy.
It was supposedly the coldest day of the winter in Scotland yesterday. Supposedly,
there you go.
It was kind of fine. I had to de-ice the car, but that was about as bad as it got. It was kind of cool. And we've also got Kelly Gamont. How are you this evening, my dear?
Seahawks! I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, we've had quite a lengthy football conversation prior to the show.
American football. Yay. Yeah, we're probably going to talk more about that later. I'm sure it'll creep in one way or another. But so today I'm feeling exceptionally well. It's also a holiday here today. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Got that going for us, which is nice. Sorry, yeah.
What holiday is it today?
It's Martin Luther King Day, which is one of those holidays, which is, I always call them the half holidays, where, like, you don't go to school, but a lot of businesses are still open and you don't get any mail.
Yeah, we've got St. Andrew's Day. That's the same for us. And only counties, I guess you would call them, like regions, actually observe it. So some schools and businesses are in like, so Aberdeenshire, for argument's sake, actually is in, and it's a completely normal day, but, like, Edinburgh and the borders are completely shut down. And it's supposed to be St. Andrews, which is like the patron saint of Scotland. So we should all kind of be shutting down. But it's one of them. Cool. Oh, well, so I apologize. I didn't appreciate it was a holiday with you guys. So I've disturbed your day of rest and relaxation. Or miraculously, I've really kind of butted into some Titanfall time for Chris there.
Destiny all day. Titanfall is mad at me.
Actually, were you playing Evolve this weekend? Or did you guys... Did you guys get the free beta weekend, or was it just a UK thing?
You know what? Whatever free betas come out, whatever new games come out, until my brain says, okay, you're done with Destiny, I won't play anything else.
You know, I have a copy of Destiny on my desk beside me here, sealed, and has been for 2 months.
If you were standing in front of me, I'd kick you in your shins right now.
No, I'm not a go of it yet. I've heard lots of good things about it.
But right in both. Bah, bah. You just a little double tap. Bah, bah. What's up?
I'm good. Yeah, are you good? Yeah, are you on holiday today?
Yeah. You know, I do the best I can to celebrate Martin Luther the King's birthday every year. It doesn't always work out, you know, with work, but sure. It's one of those holidays that you take with this, or you generally, a lot of companies will say you'll take this or you take President's Day.
All right.
And you know, I generally choose this day for obvious, maybe not so obvious reasons. On an audio podcast.
Well, that's true. Oh, well, so you're spending the day celebrating by playing Destiny then.
Me and the boys online, nice. Shooting people in the face.
Nice, nice.
Get it in.
What a way to celebrate the day.
Yes, particularly of the day of a man known for nonviolence.
Yes, nonviolence. But, you know.
In the face!
But he didn't say anything about digital violence. Digital violence. He wasn't even thinking about that back then.
Oh, dear. And we have a show title and we're only about 5 minutes in. Get in the face. Good. And so just before the show, we were discussing, as we've already mentioned, football. And I started on a bit of a rant about iPad. This isn't actually one of the news stories we're going to talk about, but I think it's interesting to chat about.
It's still news because it's happening now. Well, it's a current event.
That is true. Kelly rightly said, hold on, let's start the show and then discuss this. So my rant is simple. I've mentioned this in the show before because I've actually praised it heavily because it's actually a really good app and it's called Game Pass. I don't know how it's made by the NFL. It's an NFL app. I don't don't know if Game Pass exists in the States at all, or if it's just a completely unique Europe or UK thing. But essentially all it is, it's an app. You get NFL Network. You get Red Zone on a Sunday night. You get all the games. You then get the compressed games like 24 or 48 hours later, which is, for those of you who don't know, is basically they cut out all the crap that doesn't actually mean anything, or does mean something, but doesn't matter to the game. And you basically...
It's just like a highlights show.
It's not even that. It's basically snapped down. So you get rid of all the bits in between and all the ad breaks. And it basically makes an American football game last about 45 minutes.
Yeah, because you end up with...
worth getting the trailer out for, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, with the tailgate.
That's the one.
Yeah. So, it's not worth tailgating for a 45-minute ball game, but there's a lot of stopping and timeouts and things, and so you end up with... That's why, like, watching a game is, like, an all-day or an all-afternoon kind of an event, is because everything takes so long. They have to reset. Every time the ball changes hands, a different set of players comes out for each team and on and on. So there's always a lot of delay. They've done a lot to speed up the on-field stuff, but there's still a certain amount of delay that is inherent in an NFL ball game. So right now, just to break this down for people who may not be familiar with the NFL, right now we have just finished the playoff portion of the program. We have two conferences in the NFL. There's the American Football Conference and the National Football Conference. So they're the AFC title and the NFC title. And then whoever wins each of those titles, the winner, the holder of that title, is one of the teams in the Super Bowl, which is the one that determines ultimate intergalactic, at this point, supremacy. Indeed. For football for an entire year. Right now, my team, the Seahawks, have won their ball game and are going to the Super Bowl, and they're going to be playing, they're the Seattle Seahawks, and they're going to be playing against the New England Patriots.
Yes.
And in the United States, there is a package you can get through your cable company. Well, not through cable, through the NFL. I think it's called Season Pass or Season Ticket. One of the networks, Chris probably can tell you a lot more about it. One of the networks has one, and you can basically buy it so that you can watch all of your team's games no matter what channel they're on or what cable company deal has been made.
They advertise that between the shows and things like that. So you can't, that's one of the packages you can get in the UK. So there's the four packages they offer. They offer your team's games. They offer every game up to the playoffs, including preseason, of all teams, and including all the compressed and red zone and everything like that. You then get another package that includes the playoffs, and then you get a fourth package that includes the Super Bowl. And all of those include access to the NFL Network that streams all day, so you get like the Fantasy Live and all that kind of stuff. And you get access to the back catalogue of A Football Life and all those other kind of TV shows and documentaries and things like that. And it's awesome. You can also download games as well after they've played, obviously. You could download games and watch them offline too, which is amazing. And the app is actually really good. You can stream to your Apple TV. I up until this season in the playoffs, I had absolutely no problem with it. Meanwhile, Sky in the UK, one of Rupert Murdoch's items that he makes money with, seems to have taken a little bit more of an interest in American football this year, and is transmitting more and more games, which has had the result that the Game Pass app has blacked these games out for me, despite the fact that I'm paying for these. Now, in the regular season, I can handle that. Two games a week, fine. The fact that it's almost always the Patriots game kind of bugs me, but I can kind of see why people in the UK might be more interested in watching New England Patriots than maybe adding the Carolina Panthers or something like that. So I made my peace with that, and I kind of accepted that. But I have paid for the full package, which takes me right from preseason right through to the Super Bowl, and I have not been able to watch a playoff game live. Now, I can watch it 24 hours after the fact because it's blackout, but frankly, unless news is telling me that it's an absolutely amazing game, I'm probably not going to do that because, I'm not going to sit there and watch all the games again 24 hours later when I already know the score. It sort of ruins it a little bit. So I have paid for this playoff section, and I haven't been able to watch a single match live. It is ridiculous.
Now, it seems like a bit dirty too, because they had to know they didn't have the rights to stream.
Oh yeah, totally. Totally,
but
at that stage.
Is it Sky's problem, or is it the fact that the people who serve the rights for things will only serve them exclusively?
I think it's... I don't know if it's necessarily Sky's problem, because Sky's a business and they want to show NFL, and that's fine.
But the thing is, what is stopping more than one network from showing the match? I don't understand that.
Oh, once they get the rights to it, it's just money. If they just,
it's exclusive.
They're not trying to share. Yeah.
It's exclusivity, and it's Oh, it's out and out. Agreed. We have the same problem here because a lot of professional sports, first of all, professional sports is the thing that is basically keeping everyone from forsaking their cable subscription altogether.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, quality programming on American movie classics. You know, nobody's like paying $80 a month because they like Mad Men just that much. Like nobody
although
does that.
To be clear, it's harder in smaller markets. And when you live away from your team, like here where I live in the D.C. area, there's just no way the Skins game is not going to be broadcast. Yeah, but other areas, yeah, they have those fake blackout rules.
Yeah, they're called blackout rules. Primarily baseball, I think, is the prime offender here, where if the arena where the game is being played doesn't sell a certain number of tickets, the game is not available on television in the area. So like if Chris's Redskins, I know, but listen to this.
It's almost not worth turning up, is it?
Yeah. If Chris's Redskins only sell a certain percentage of tickets to a ball game that's supposed to be on TV where he is, he may not get to see that game on TV.
Yeah. No, you will not get the game.
It depends on, I mean, there's percentages all over the place that get negotiated, but yeah, that game won't show up on television. Yeah. Now, it may be a game that's broadcast on another network, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah, that was done in the old days to get people into the seats. So if the stadiums weren't selling out, then they would black it out on TV, so you had to go to the game.
Right.
But, you know, and anybody who lives in this area or is a Skins fan, you never have to worry about that. It's sold out for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get interest from abroad, anywhere in the world, you end up with this sort of, I don't know, stranglehold.
It is. And so you end up, you end up with me considering subscribing to Sky. I already subscribed to Sky.
But that's what they want you to do.
That's what's supposed to happen.
It would just be activating the sports package, which I have very little interest in, because pretty much the only sports I watch is NFL and the Six Nations rugby, which is always on terrestrial telly, BBC and whatnot.
Because the Queen likes it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Probably.
Princess Anne. She's always at rugby matches. Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
So that's all I watch. So I've got no interest in the sports channel otherwise, but I actually have seriously considered doing it this year, and I probably will do it next year. I'll not opt for Game Pass next year, and I'll probably go with Sky if this is going to happen again, which is so frustrating because that's not what I want to do.
But you know, you're just a pawn in a game.
They shouldn't have sold it to you.
They shouldn't have sold
it to you if this is what was going to happen.
Yeah.
That's the bigger issue here, I think.
Yeah, that's the big problem.
Yeah. They should have, or at least kind of said, now, by the way, you're not going to be able to watch any playoff games live. And I might have went, all right, okay, you've told me, but I still get to see the Super Bowl. Good, right? Okay, go with that. And I probably would have done that. But
they should have been up front with you, or at least not offered a package where they were going to make you pay for stuff you couldn't get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, exactly. Very quickly, sorry, just to make it clear, what is it you're actually paying for? Who are you giving money for? Who were you giving money?
I am giving money. It's NFL Europe. It's on the NFL website. It's called Game Pass.
But surely that's... but that's their stuff.
Choking on your own rage there, James.
They've given... No, I literally don't understand. The NFL is the National Football League.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's their thing.
Yes.
And they're saying, you can't watch the thing that we're going to give you, that we're making, that you paid for.
Yeah.
Because we've given it to someone else. But it's all right. We'll take your money anyway. That, honestly, I'm not entirely sure that makes a huge amount of sense.
I'm not entirely certain that's legal.
Well, part of it is, right, is the local stadium, the local stations that buy the rights to then broadcast the game.
Yeah.
And so they have certain rules. So the NFL has a blackout rule to start with that says if we don't sell 75 or 85% of tickets by Thursday. But then they gave the individual teams rules. And to be fair to the NFL, they did lift the blackout rule this year. But the broadcasters still had rules in place that then superimposed the NFL rules. So even though the NFL lifted their stuff, that didn't stop the broadcasters who paid for the rights to broadcast the games to put their rules. So it's not necessarily the NFL. It's really your local broadcaster. Yeah, so they bought the rights to broadcast, and they're stopped blocking any other broadcast of the games.
Even the people who right. I'm me, and I've got a thing. You can watch me. Right. Okay.
You can watch me play.
I'm me, and you're you. Right.
Right.
And You so can watch Kelly? Me. I've got a video I'm camera confused. On me playing with my Game Boy. I'm playing Tetris, right?
Right.
You can watch me play my Tetris if you give me a fiver. But what I'm going to do is Sky has taken an interest in me playing Tetris that you're paying me to let you watch, because it's my game of Tetris, don't yeah. forget. Mm-hmm. And Sky have gone, oh, we'd like to show your game of Tetris to a few million people. I'm going to say, yeah, go on, and if you give me lots and lots of money, and then I'm going to stop the person who's watching Tetris, me play Tetris at the moment, you can go away now.
Yeah, but I think,
that doesn't, you know what I mean? It's a very good game. I'm quite good at Tetris.
I think the key is, in the UK, and I think this is maybe why it's different from the States, in the UK, if they show it on Sky, they might just managed to get some eyeballs. In fact, they almost definitely will get some eyeballs that would not have bothered to buy Game Pass. Game Pass right. is there for people like me who want to see it, are into it, don't need to be sold in any way, don't need to be right. tricked into just kind of, it appears after some kind of UFC fighter or whatever that is. I'm already bought in. I'm there. I'm captured audience. Whereas with Sky, they're actually better selling the rights to Sky because they're going to capture more people. And someone might go, no, I'll have a look at this American football thing. I quite enjoyed that. I might watch more of it now. Mm-hmm. And then they sell.
But the issue is that
all that kind of stuff.
They shouldn't have sold it to you and let you pay for that under the presumption you were going to get to see all of the things that you paid for, which I know sounds crazy.
But I bet you what they did is they put somewhere in fine print.
Yeah,
that the playoff games were not live.
Yeah, yeah.
So my hunch is that the deal wasn't done when you bought your season pass.
My hunch is it says that the playoffs were not live. You get the playoffs, but you got to watch them recorded, not live.
Yeah, it possibly said something like not live, yeah. And I wouldn't have even read that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have either. I would have did the same thing. That's yeah. I know I would have been duped by that. That's why I can see that was that's what yeah, yeah that's my possible. Guess as to what happened.
So, Doc's just put in the chat room some interesting a Wikipedia article about the blackout policies. I think that almost definitely, with just scanning down the page, is relating to American rules. It doesn't necessarily come over to the UK, but
yeah, it's a different. Yeah. Even though it's called a blackout, it's a little bit different for the yeah. networks.
Yeah,
yeah,
The networks can black. Like for example, when I had DirecTV, DirecTV pays the NFL. Almost, I think it was $1 billion.
It's an obscene amount of money.
Wow.
For the exclusive rights to broadcast every game, no matter what. And then yeah. they sell that as what they call the NFL ticket. So you pay an extra yeah. $400 a year, you get the NFL ticket, and you can watch pretty much any game.
Except, all the football you can stand.
Except for the game that is broadcasting on your local channel. So, for example, when I had the NFL ticket and, you know, so you it would be channels between 700 and 720. But, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, each channel had a low like 10. The first 10 had a low definition version of the game and the next 10 had a high definition version of the game. But then when you got to the like, for example, if the Skins were playing, the Skins game on DirecTV would be blacked out. And you had to go to the local channel on DirecTV so that you couldn't watch the local the games that were broadcasting locally. You could yep. not watch those games through the NFL ticket. You could only watch the games that were not on your local. So even though they pay $1 billion to broadcast that, any game that's broadcasting through your local station.
And when mm-hmm. you say the local station, just to be clear, are you having to pay extra to the local station to get it?
No. That's a free game, but they're making their revenue off of advertising.
Off of advertising. That's why right. You see, and you can kind of understand that.
That's why they're blacking right. it out. Because yeah. we pay for this to get our money back. We need to sell ads. We need to sell ads, and we need yeah. to show ads. So if somebody mm-hmm. else is streaming it, then we're not going to make our money back. And
that's only a situation that applies to Chris. Now, if the Redskins were my favorite team, I would be able to see every Redskins game through NFL ticket because there is no local station here that would be broadcasting it because it's not the local team. So for a lot of people, because we talked about it earlier, there's not a whole lot of NFL teams. It's not like there's one in every market. So there's not a whole lot of them. So you can be, and people are not necessarily swearing allegiance to the local team by default. So there are a lot of people around here who are Redskins fans, are Patriots fans, but they're Cowboys fans and, you know, whatever else. And those aren't local teams. And so this makes it this is a good way for people who don't necessarily live in the same area as their favorite team mm-hmm. to be somebody who will still get to watch all the football.
See so that? And that's, and yeah, go on.
So the solution is, You need to find every person in the UK needs one great friend in the United States.
Well, coincidentally, Doc, who's in the chat room, me and him briefly, jokingly discussed Eddie because he's a big football, as in soccer fan in the UK. Uh-huh. We actually joked about the two of us getting sling boxes.
Because I sense a trade-off happening here, yeah,
because I have absolutely no interest in soccer at all, not even slightly.
You're just living in the wrong country.
Much like James in the NFL. Wow.
Yeah, I need to do something. We did jokingly discuss the idea of both putting sling boxes in. And,
because, you know, generally $6 a month to add an additional box, depending on which company you're with. Mm-hmm. And yep. All they do is just set it up in the corner of their house somewhere. Plug in mm-hmm. a sling box to it. I had a buddy that lived in Germany, and my other buddy set up a sling box in his basement for him. And, you know, he could watch American shows anytime he wanted through the sling. And just it just was out of the way and just never. And he just paid. He bought the sling box himself, and he paid the, gave him the $60 a year to cover the cost of the extra box. And that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's £10 a month, Doc. If you pay me £10 a month, which is, I don't know. I can't do that math quickly in my head. I think it's going to be about
$37.
That's $140.
By the way, Doc, you're not funny.
So Doc says, Portland can't afford an NFL team and hippies don't play football.
Ha!
Oh, very good.
Go on, Doc. Try and alienate me.
It's true. Hippies don't play football. I'll give him that. It's not that we can't afford an NFL team. It's that we're doing so good with footy. We never bothered. That's why.
You can call it real football if you like.
We sell out real football games constantly.
Yeah, I've always been a big
supporter. We have the rabid soccer box.
What are we calling this real football? That's really difficult. An American referring to something as real football. Are you meaning soccer or football? Football.
Soccer.
Right. Okay.
That's why I started with footy. I figured that was the commonly accepted term.
Footy's what, Doc? So. Uses, but I've never, I don't know, James, have you heard that? I've never, the only person I know that uses footy as to mean soccer is Doc.
I know, I used to use footy when I was a kid. You want to get a footy? Yeah, that's what we used to call it.
Maybe it's an English thing.
You know, but anyway, I mean, go on.
It is English.
When I played football in high school, and we would always make fun of the soccer players, even though the soccer team was record-wise was significantly better than the football team, but we just called them Kicky Chasey. That's all it was. That was our description.
Yeah,
that's fairly accurate.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, no one knows what they called you.
Yeah, the footy. Who knows? The footy players used to call us the Egg Chasers because we were rugby players.
There you go.
Yeah. We didn't really
getting this back to pocket though.
We should actually do the show.
No, it's fairly. It used to be the case. I mean, the whole rights issue is a mess anyway, and it's very much like almost every industry, be the movie industry, the record industry, it needs to sort of drag itself into some kind of digital 21st century before people find ways of bypassing it and finding more nefarious, even if it's more than just a sling box in someone else's lounge, ways of getting the content.
Well, the thing is, that's exactly what happened. And I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I found
Less
a
if
way.
You don't.
Yeah, I found a way of watching, because I've already mentioned that I watched the game, and I didn't, and I've already said that I didn't, I don't have Sky Sports, so obviously I found a way around it. But it was a shocking quality. I mean, a friend of mine who was in exactly the same position as me, we were chatting to each other on Facebook, and his exact quote was, this joke might not work very well because it's quite a niche joke, but his comment was, the quality is so bad, I'm far better waiting for First Down coming out during the week. Now, First Down is an American football magazine that's been around in the UK for, I don't know, a couple of decades or something like that, because the quality was that bad. See, the joke didn't land because nobody's heard of First Down, the magazine.
No, it's totally waiting for the magazine to recap it later. Like, I totally get that.
Yeah.
The problem is there are a lot of companies, there are a lot of organizations even, like you said, this happens in every industry where they're used to the way that they make money. And if you don't want to pay them that way, then you're kind of out of luck. That's what forces people into other things. Like, you know, the whole reason Napster ever existed is because the record companies all said, why would we give people music they can listen to on their computers? That's weird. And and we can't find a way to you know, we don't see why that's a good idea. So we're not going to do that. And that's why, like, when people talk about all this stuff happening, you know, as soon as iTunes came out and it was easier for me to give Apple a dollar to buy a song than it was for me to go online and download it without paying for it. Problem solved.
Yep,
and they found the sweet spot for the for charging per song and all of that. You know, they did a really good job of making it easier to buy than to steal. Yep. And, you know, it's the same thing. Like, I bring this up in all kinds of conversations when people are talking about companies that make money. Starbucks has made it ridiculously easy for me to give them money.
I love that. Yeah, yeah. You were talking about this in the last show. I love that they're doing that, but they don't do it in enough places. But yeah,
well,
spot on.
They don't do the pre-order anywhere except here. Mm-hmm. But
drive-through, which, even. They don't have that in the UK at all.
Oh, good heavens. We should talk about that.
We're getting funnily enough, we're getting a drive-through actually in Luton, and there are many better places, I'm sure, to put one. But they've been promising it for the last 6 months, still haven't delivered. How long does it take to put a Starbucks up?
Drive through what? Drive through Starbucks?
Starbucks, yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, so here's the thing with Starbucks is that if you register your little Starbucks card, which only takes a minute, then it is a piece of cake for you to put more money on that card. It is a piece of cake for you to, you know, like, they made the deal with Facebook where, like, you can send a gift to somebody. So, like, on my mom's birthday, I wasn't in the same place as her. She lives in another state. And so I was able to send her, she likes to go to Starbucks and get this one particular drink. So I was able to send her $5 to go to Starbucks and get a beverage, you know, on me. Like, I bought your coffee on your birthday, mom, here you go. And, you know, because of that, like, it makes it really easy. So, you know, that's the kind of thing. Now, if you want to talk about mobile, here's what's awesome that Starbucks is doing right now. In Portland, they are testing ordering from the Starbucks app. So right now, the cool thing about the Starbucks app, if you don't live in Portland, is that you can add your Starbucks card to Passbook. And if you only walk out of the house with your keys and your phone, you can still drive to Starbucks and get a cup of coffee and come home, even if you didn't take your wallet. That is living in the future.
Yeah,
I think that's amazing. So now they have a thing, at least here, where you can go through the order process. And so I can go, I want, you know, the protein box and a giant iced tea and, you know, and I want no sweetener in the iced tea and I want light ice in the iced tea and, you know, no, whatever. And then I send the order and it will tell me once I choose which Starbucks I want to pick it up from, they will tell me, okay, so you are 7 minutes away and it's only going to take 3 before your order is ready. Are you sure you want to order now? And then when you get there, you can either walk in or drive through, whichever you prefer. And you just go, hi, I have a mobile order. I'm Kelly. I have a mobile order. And they go, awesome. Here you go. The best bit was the first day it was available. I tried it out and I didn't think they were going to let me do it in the drive-through, at least at first. You know, I was like, I'm going to be nice and, like, go inside. So in case there's a problem, I'm not holding up, you know, a bunch of cars behind me or whatever. So I walked in and the girl comes to the end of the counter and, you know, there's like 10 people in line. And the way this Starbucks that I'd go to normally is laid out, it doesn't take long before the line is like taking up the entire little entry area. So I walk in and I see the girl and I wave at her and she goes, oh, hi. And I said, hi, I placed a mobile order. And she goes, oh, right. Hang on a second, Kelly. And so all of these people in line are like, and then she walks over.
Person?
Yeah. She walks over. Hands me my coffee and my little bacon breakfast sandwich and says, it was awesome. It came in just like they told us about in training. And here you go. We're really excited you tried it out. And I'm like, well, now that I know that this works. Like,
yeah, like your novelty act come into the shop.
Yeah,
I mean, well, that's pretty cool. You're the future.
Yeah.
It was. Well, and then everybody in line was like, bleh? You know, because
yeah, well,
like,
that tends to be the reaction, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't have to wait in line, which was why it was amazing. Like, it changed my life. Like, and so she, like, I, like, didn't even have to go, you know, she goes, yeah, come on over and pick up your coffee. So I walked over in front of everybody and she hands me my coffee because they pour the coffee right there, like right behind
and
the cash register.
And it had your name spelt right on it.
It did.
Yeah, I don't give them my real name though, but that makes
sense. That's
right.
Anyway, like the mobile pre-order thing is awesome. And the best bit is that if you are somebody who orders the same thing often, there's like stored orders. So it shows me like the last few things I ordered And then if I want to do the same thing again, I just hit one of them and I go, yeah, order that. And then it takes the money off my card and then I'm done.
Yeah.
It's
very nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
I can't wait until it ends up everywhere. Like that's, you know, and then every once in a while you get a notice. If you've been using it regularly, you'll get a notice. And they always tell me in line, because I told them, I was like, I write about stuff like this for a website. I write for the Mac Observer. I had to try it out to find out like how it actually worked. Cause a lot of people talked about it, but nobody else could actually try it out because nobody else lives here. So I went there and I tried it out.
Live there, but nobody else.
Like Imore wrote about it, but nobody from Imore is in Portland, and Tua wrote about it, but nobody from Tua is in Portland, you know, that kind of stuff. So, it's funny because now they sort of update me. They're like, you're not the only one that mobile orders anymore. You know, and like we get a lot of them, and it's super handy because it makes it easy for, you know, you put your name in, everybody knows, you know, who you are. Your name is spelled right on your coffee, all that kind of stuff. So it was really, it's funny to me. And I seriously can't wait until everybody has this capability because it's amazing. And it makes going through so much easier. Cause I asked them like, is it okay to do this through the drive-thru? And they were like, oh yeah, they told us, you know, whatever. So I come to, so now I can just go to the drive-thru. Mm-hmm. Like I leave my house and then, you know, when I back up out of the driveway, I sit for a second in the driveway and I go, okay, order. And then I head there and then I get there and I roll through the line. I'm like, hi, it's Kelly with my mobile order. And they're like, come on up. And then I get up there and they hand it to me and there's like no money transaction that goes on. And it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Don't you love supporting companies that do stuff like that? You know, mm-hmm. that bring in some kind of technology. You know, we talk.
I wear my nerd on the outside, and I really like a company that's completely okay with that.
You know, on the SMR podcast, we talked about how Slingbox was bought by Dish Network, and they announced a new service that they're really in their advertisement, they're targeting pretty much 18 to 25 year olds, where they'll have, I think it's 12 or 20 channels.
With the new service from CES.
And they'll be streaming it. And, they actually have ESPN, they have CNN. Mm-hmm. They actually have a couple of good channels, HGTV, TNT, ESPN2, Travel Channel. So those are some decent channels to have.
And I guarantee you, I absolutely guarantee you, the experience I get watching Days of Our Lives through that is going to be better than it is through the NBC app. I guarantee it.
And it's $20 a month. Yeah. So are you guys getting anybody talking about doing this stuff yet over there?
No,
Europe?
Not really. You get in the odd kind of couple coming along and kind of doing some interesting things, but they're not doing anything. I mean, Sky's probably the closest to doing anything like that, but they're still kind of, you need the whole kind of package to do it.
They're trying basically to get the massive. They can't really risk being niche.
Yeah, and Tesco's tried to kind of do something, but it seems to have fallen flat on its face as well.
Well, they're trying. Well, they're selling Sky off the silver, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't Sky have the added disadvantage of being one of Rupert Murdoch's evil satanic monkeys?
It does, but it also has the plus side of being pretty much the only way of watching telly anywhere in the UK. So you get Virgin somewhere. It's like some places, mainly like big cities and things like that.
You get BT other places.
You get BT other places, but that sort of requires fibre in most situations, which not everywhere has. You get Freeview, but that means that you have to have line of sight of an analogue. Not be analog, but
you have a TV transmitter.
So you've got those options, but really if you want the kind of the selection of modern stuff, you have to either be in a fiber area, a cable area, or pay for Sky. That's pretty
and you know that pretty much wherever you are. I mean, I live at the foot of a hill and you can still get Sky here. It's got coverage pretty much everywhere.
So We've completely went right through all the TV networks and...
and that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
All done.
So half an hour in, we actually get into the show. It's all good.
Well, let me just say that I got a new... because there's another company here that's doing something interesting, which I only found out recently because my TiVo is dying a painful death. And so I'm getting a new one. And now... Yeah, and it is actually a new one. They've gone through a couple of evolutions since my new TiVo... has started to fail. The new one is from 2008. And they're doing a thing now where their devices, you can stream it over your Wi-Fi to any mobile device in your house, and over the internet to anything with a connection. It's part of your data connection. And then they also have another thing. This is the one I think is really interesting that they're doing. I love that they're doing the mobile streaming finally, because it's a super pain in the neck to try and transfer something off of TiVo that I, you know, legitimately recorded, and you know, I pay for my cable subscription and all of that, and I legitimately recorded it, but if I want to take it with me on a plane or something, I'm out of luck. And so the other thing they're doing that I think is cool is they've got this little thing called a TiVo Mini, and it basically lets the TV that you hook it up to access your full-on TiVo device over the network, you know, somewhere else in the house.
Remarkable.
So that's I think amazing. That, and I really, to me, that feels like the future.
Television
is like, buy one of those, slap a big fat hard drive on the back of it. You know, you drop your terabyte in, you get like all the hours of programming. The one that's coming to me in the mail is like 6 tuners. So, you know, if you have a house full of people, if you have a house full of people, you can get all of those
to watch.
Yeah, that's the one I bought, and it's been great. So I dumped DirecTV after 13 years of being with them a couple months ago. And I switched to TiVo. Unfortunately, in the United States, they just passed a law. And you should know this, Kelly, because I'm not sure what your antenna strength is like. But they passed a law here in the States that no longer requires the cable company to broadcast local channels unencrypted. So what that means is, so before, you know, you had cable company. Cable had pretty much a line into everybody's house, so you could get cable. And then what the government said is you have to broadcast the local channels for the area unencrypted, so that they can just hook the cable up to their TV and get the local channels.
Yeah.
Just this past year, they passed that and changed it where they're allowed to encrypt it for safety reasons.
Oh, yeah. Because God forbid I get the news. Yeah.
And so now you are required to have some type of device. So for TiVo, you're going to have to go to your local cable company and get what they call the cable card.
TiVo I have now has a cable card in.
So you'll be fine. I didn't know that, and I had to go through all this mess to get the cable card.
Then you have to go through the mess of getting it activated, and it's just a slow motion disaster.
I will say it was a pain to get it activated because they gave me the wrong card.
Yeah, they do. They're good at that.
As they do. It's just one of their things, one of their skills.
Yeah.
So
I would tell you more about my experience with the cable card, but I don't want Paul to have to do a bunch of editing.
Once I got the card, though, calling in to get it activated was a piece of cake.
Yeah.
But I have a Mini, as you just described, and it took me a little while to get it working right. I tried to, to do it over the power line, and then someone just suggested to me the other day, because I have all this home automation stuff that's running through the power line, I should have expected it not to work well.
A little bit, fuzzy.
It worked well like the first 2 weeks, and after that, but I use what they call a Mocha adapter, which basically uses the same cable that the cable TV comes in on.
Yeah.
And it said it does internet over that line. That has been flawless since we switched to that about 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
This whole thing is awesome. And the fact
Chris and I are about to start a home automation podcast.
What? And they don't charge for the minis anymore either. So, you have to buy them, but you don't have to pay a monthly fee for them.
So, just a dumb question on that, if that's okay. So the TiVo doesn't, because we the only real place you can get a TiVo here is with Virgin Media as a kind of a premium product. And it's effectively the cable box that they stick in the house.
Sky Plus is effectively a TiVo. I know
it's not got the TiVo. I mean, you can do crazy, you can run all kinds of crazy apps on a TiVo. It's the developments that Kelly's specifically talking about that I'm thinking about here.
Not just the ability to pause live telly. Yeah,
It's certainly a hell of a lot more. It's amazing how much more than that. The question, I guess, what was, do you have to pay is it $600? How much is it to buy yourself a TiVo?
So for me, the TiVo, I bought the same one Kelly's talking about, and that I bought the most expensive one. So that was $699. There are certainly other cheaper models out there.
But that's yours, and that connects to whatever service provider you're using.
Right. And so my original plan was to plug in an over the air antenna.
Right.
And then just get my local channels over the air, which would be free.
And then that's failing.
And so, but I live in a kind of, there's like enough mountains in, around me, even though I'm in a, you know, nice regular rural area, but no one in my area can get over the air.
Right.
So you have to go through the cable, which kind of threw a monkey wrench into my plan.
Well, I was going
to
say, because the whole point, I guess, of TiVo is you can record loads of stuff. And if you've just got one over-the-air receiver, you can only record one thing at a time. And you're limited to the channels.
Well, no, it'll take that signal in, but it turns it into six tuners.
Oh,
so
cool.
It will still record six shows at the same time. So I have one cable going into the TiVo, but it's strong enough to make that, turn that into six tuners.
Yeah,
so
you can watch. It will record six separate channels at the same time.
Right.
So, like, I have a cable package from Comcast, and so for me, I can be recording, you know, Big Bang Theory and Top Gear, and you know, something else, and still be watching a channel. And then if it wants to pick something up on the sixth tuner, I can do that. The thing with TiVo, the thing that differentiated TiVo when they first came out was A, the manipulation of live television, but then B, it was a way better experience than the first wave of recording devices that came from the cable company. And it is still a much better experience than the DVR that you get from the cable company.
Not to mention it'll go out and record stuff for you. Like it'll say, I've found a couple experiences that I find on the TiVo. For example, I was flipping through and we're setting up a show to record, and it says, "Oh, you might want to check out this show." And then it actually allowed me to play a preview of the show.
Nice.
Right. So if you watch, you know, crime shows and you watch The Golden Girls, it'll go, "You might like Matlock." So, the thing is though, TiVo has its own service, and this was the hook they used to reel me in for another 10 years. Having been a customer since very early in 2004, I've been a customer for 11 years of TiVo, a happy customer. I'm super pleased. There are only two stickers on my car. One is an Apple sticker and one is a TiVo sticker. Those are the two. And it's the old six color Apple logo, because I'm retro like that, son. Anyway, so TiVo has service, and you can pay TiVo for service monthly, or you can pay TiVo for lifetime service. And so as long as that box continues to function, you get all of the whiz bang of TiVo, but you don't have to pay for it. So I paid for that.
The streaming services. Is that what gives you the ability to be able to watch your TiVo from anywhere in the world, kind of thing?
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I asked, there is a reason why I'm asking these questions, because one of my colleagues he got himself a new telly. It was only like 350 quid, but it's a Sony Bravia that can do what you were saying the TiVo
can
do, which can stream what's on the telly out onto the internet. However, what of course it can't do is get stuff off the hard drive.
Oh, right.
I've got a Sony Bravia. I wonder if I can do that. I've never actually.
If it's a smart TV, it may well be able to do that.
It's only
got
a
like
old one.
Yeah,
Smart TVs have crazy stuff.
I know, I've noticed, because my Bravia automatically picked up my Plex server, which I was blown away with. I didn't even have to install a Plex app. It just came out, we see a whole crap load of stuff over here. Do you want to look at it? And it was awesome. It showed me it through my Plex interface.
But for me, it's the other way around that I'm really interested in. It is to be able to watch the telly without having the telly on. And that, for me, but honestly,
to have it transmitted straight into your retinas.
Well, no, onto my tablet, onto my phone. Okay. Because
has apps that are on Android and iOS as well.
Yeah.
And I know that Sky does, but Sky doesn't do it from the Sky box. It does it through Sky's internet service.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is slightly different. It won't give you what you've recorded. You can't
get that free if you have two Sky boxes in your house. So if you if you get a second Sky box to watch in a different room that's plugged into your cable and everything like that, same account, you can't watch stuff on that box that's been recorded in the other box. Even if they're both plugged into your home network as well. It's crazy.
They won't share. They're not very good with it. They're like two male guinea pigs.
Yeah, they'll fight
if you put next to each other. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because you guys were quite rightly complaining about the fact that the services are so exclusive that you can't get on your iPad what you want to watch because of the rights issues associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Literally all I've got to add to that is the fact that we've got Amazon Prime, and we can watch Amazon Prime on our smart telly, which is brilliant because Beth can watch loads of series for free. But yep. she can't watch it on her non-Amazon tablet because right. Amazon say it's not an Amazon tablet. You can buy an Amazon tablet if you want to watch it. And of course, she doesn't want to monopolize the television watching her, I call Grey's Anatomy, which has got lots of series, apparently, because she hasn't stopped watching it for 2 weeks. So she has to watch it on the telly, or I think she can watch it on her phone.
You can watch it on a tablet, because I can watch... So you can watch it on the phone. I've never tested my tablet. But I can use Amazon Instant Video on my iPhone.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay on a phone, but it's the fact that if you want to watch it on a reasonable size screen, I say.
I don't use a tablet, so I really don't know if I can test. I can't test that.
Hmm. But it's the rights holders sort of telling us what we can and can't have.
Well, and there was a point where with the rights to some of that stuff, where if you had the Amazon Prime Video app on your iPad and you tried to stream it to the Apple TV through AirPlay, all you would get would be audio.
Really?
And the video the video stayed on your iPad. The video would not broadcast on your television. Only the audio.
Oh, bless him.
Because rights. Yeah.
Wow.
It was crazy. Awesome. No, wait. Not awesome. The other thing.
The other thing. You mean BlackBerry? I'm funny you should say that. So there was a report.
I think I do. It's a big bucket of BlackBerry.
Okay, Doc is saying that he watches Prime on his iPad, so it must work. I've just never tested it. And I know
it must be Android tablets then.
Maybe just Android.
Because we're Androidies.
Yes.
But also indeed. It depends where. Because in the UK, you guys there may be a different set of rules.
There probably is.
For how that works than what we have here.
We actually, we have a funny thing with Prime Instant Video, where Prime Instant Video actually was another company called Love Film, and Amazon bought it in the UK.
And
turned Prime Instant Video into that. But you guys had Prime Instant Video way before that, when we were still using Love Film.
And you were using Love Film because there was no Netflix yet, if I recall.
Netflix came in around the same time as Amazon bought Love Film. But in the UK, it's, frankly, in my opinion, it's still better to use the American Netflix enemy. But for fear of this meandering off too much into the TV show...
We were laughing at BlackBerry.
We were only managed to save it 35 minutes in. That's good. So, The Verge had an article, and I think it came from Reuters as well. So Reuters actually published an article last week saying that there was an exclusive Samsung talks to BlackBerry about 7.5 billion buyout. That's 7.5 Instagrams if you're playing along at home. This, according to The Verge, resulted in BlackBerry stock jumping by nearly a third and then promptly plummeting back down again. Sources of both from Samsung and BlackBerry have denied these rumours. I believe they both were denied in press releases, which means that they actually are nonsense, because as my understanding goes, you couldn't release a press release with a lie in it, despite the fact that maybe has happened a few times. So I was interested in you guys' opinion here. What's your thoughts on where BlackBerry is at this stage? And would this be a good acquisition for Samsung? James, being the Android panelist this evening.
It's a complete waste of time. If you consider how much BlackBerry have borrowed off everybody else just to try and keep afloat. Mm-hmm. They've got no innovation. They've got nothing really left to offer. I'm just looking at one of the articles about the utter denial of all the rumors. Whoever came up with that rumor is an absolute genius, because it did make the BlackBerry. If I was a cleverer man, that's what I would have done. I would have started a rumor, bought some BlackBerry shares, watched them grow, and then sold them and made myself maybe $5,000 worth of money.
But you've got to think that the money men who are standing behind that actually thought it was a good move. That's why they bought into BlackBerry.
It was probably... Oh, good Lord. Well, I think that probably says it all, doesn't it? But, you know, I can't think of a market for the BlackBerry at the moment, and I can't think of a value for the products everywhere.
There's the patent portfolio.
The patent portfolio? Well, yeah. From what I can read, it's most of the patent battles are over. And the ones that aren't, people they can't be interested in them, otherwise they would have bought them by now. Or some small company down in Virginia would have snapped them up and would be holding them hostage like they used to.
But it's mainly the patents that they've got. From memory, I can't remember the name of the company now. It begins with a C. It's like Certificon or something like that. I can't remember. It's a subsidiary of BlackBerry anyway, and it owns a whole bunch of encryption patents, which I'm sure are some of those, from memory reading an article a while ago, the NSA actually uses. So there is some encryption patents that they own. I'll see if I can. I'm sure it's like Certificom or something like that, the subsidiary is called. Mm-hmm. So there is the patent software as well. They've also got the stuff that's, I mean, a huge amount of what they've got that I can see somebody wanting to buy is back end stuff. So your BlackBerry Enterprise server, it's crazy the amount of BlackBerries you still see. Certainly I can see anecdotally, being that I work in the finance industry in the UK and public sector as well on occasion, and everybody's still carrying around their personal phone and a BlackBerry, because BlackBerry Enterprise server is so well integrated into that whole environment as well.
Well, that's because the environment hasn't changed. I mean, you can probably see quite a few open VMS servers knocking around. It's not as if everybody's going to want to buy them.
No, but if so hypothetically, if all of these BlackBerry Enterprise servers are kicking about the place, and there's a whole bunch of IT departments going, our IT manager says we should move over to Android or Windows or iPhone or whatever, but God, we just can't be bothered to pull the BlackBerry Enterprise server out. Samsung comes along, buys Enterprise server, gets all the patents, works out how exactly to work into that, and all of a sudden, poof, all of the Android devices work seamlessly. The mail apps, the calendars, everything like that works seamlessly with BlackBerry Enterprise server. I think that's worth $7.5 billion for Samsung.
I don't, because companies refresh their IT deliveries every 5 years anyway, and there'll be review.
Not
really
huge companies, no.
No.
Yeah, no, that's a bit aggressive for some of the larger companies. Yeah. There is, you know, one of the things is that network is also worth it as well, because they have some great compression they do on their mm-hmm. on their communication between the devices and the servers that really I can see it being of interest to somebody who wanted to make a better enterprise play with mobile devices. There is some value there. You know, I don't know if it's that high. I don't know. But, you know, there is some value there in what they can bring to the table from an enterprise standpoint.
So, yeah, is it yes. the technology, or is it the extant estate? I mean, the technology, I'm fairly sure that maybe it's on smaller scales in different places, but other companies are delivering the similar, if not the same thing. Now that everybody's come, most back here, you know, Apple and Android have both come of age. I mean, Exchange server and Windows devices. All I really know are small and medium sized companies, and all of them have moved away from BlackBerry because there are other options out there, is I guess the best way of putting it. And therefore, is it the established network that you were talking about, or is it what Chris was talking about, and the potential to be able to use the technologies which BlackBerry, if you like, own and have made their own? Mm-hmm. High data compression, is it that hard?
Compression, I believe it's a little bit. I believe it's not. It's their own network as well. So it's a bit more secure from that standpoint, mm-hmm. as opposed to traveling across the open internet. I don't know. I don't think they're worthless. I don't know if they'd be worth, you know, $7.5 billion. But I don't know much about stocks, but I know the old pump and dump is illegal.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing about BlackBerry is that, no, that's a thing. That's not a euphemism.
I'm not entirely sure Samsung can afford to do that at the moment.
Not after their last quarterly report. The thing that's interesting to me about BlackBerry is not their hardware, it's their software. And I really think that what they have as far as patents and as far as services, because, you know, there's still a lot of larger companies that don't use iOS because BlackBerry's secure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's,
yeah,
exactly. I mean, that's it. The end, full stop. And I think there's a lot of value to a lot of companies in that. And I always thought the device to device, you know, the BlackBerry Messenger thing, yeah. I always thought that was really clever. And I know iMessage is similar, but we all know how well iMessage works. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, I never knew anybody that complained about BlackBerry all of a sudden losing messages or sending everything three times or anything like that. So I think, what would make BlackBerry appealing is the security piece, particularly now that iOS has sort of made some inroads into enterprise. If Samsung were to, and I know everybody says they're not, but if Samsung were to buy it outright, buy BlackBerry, the smart thing for them to do would be to take all of that BlackBerry server stuff and all of the security and encryption that goes into that and make an Android flavor of it. Mm-hmm. So that people don't have to worry about, you know, Android is an attack vector on an internal network, on a corporate network. And I wish that that's what they would do. And I wish that BlackBerry saw the value in that and not just, well, we made a new phone, but this one's square. Innovation.
But the thing is, Kelly, do you think that would be what Samsung would do, or would they make a Samsung version of it rather than an Android version?
You mean a Samsung version of the security?
Yeah,
because Samsung are known. Samsung
aren't very good with sharing. If you consider their sort of wearables, they're Samsung Galaxy wearables, not Android wearables.
They don't even share it with themselves. Like, you can only use that Gear Watch with one model of the phone. I think it would be, it would end up being a Samsung only thing, but they would need it to be an Android flavor, because it's not like they're going to go take Tizen and build smartphones on it.
But was there Samsung's Nux initiative, was that not on full Android? That wasn't just Samsung devices. I know that it was riddled with issues of security vulnerabilities and things like that, but I was sure the Nux initiative was full Android. It wasn't just Samsung. I might be wrong about that, but
I want to say it was Android too, but I think, like I said, I wish that BlackBerry could see the value in that and ditch the hardware side altogether and start doing what they could do, because a lot of people who manage BlackBerry servers still think upon them as favorably as they do any other technology deal with. Mm-hmm. So to me, the smart thing for BlackBerry to do, you know, especially if this Samsung stuff doesn't pan out, the smart thing for them to do is to get into that business. And I wish that they could see the value in it the way other people do. Like, you know, any IT department that has a BlackBerry server, you know, they really don't mind having that, you know, under their purview where they do some of the other kind of stuff.
Well, moreover, I guess it's they wouldn't move this. I think Samsung Knox, I was just reading up on it at the moment, because honestly, I'd not heard of it, which... it's pretty bad, pretty bad from my point of view. But if you
consider they announced it and then nothing happened.
If you've got a BlackBerry server at work, you're not going to get rid of something which is pretty much de facto to get something new which is not proven. Moreover, if you haven't got one, you're not going to buy this because you don't know it.
Right.
So having said that, though, if Samsung were to buy BlackBerry and sort of integrate some of the learnings into Knox, maybe they've got a winner there. I don't know.
Well, Knox was approved for use. It was the Department of Defense approved it back then. It obviously didn't go ahead given the amount of vulnerabilities that they found as well. Remember, BlackBerry's also got the QNX stuff as well for car. You know, I believe it's the basis for Apple's CarPlay too. They got rid of, was it Ford Sync that they managed to supplant as well to go with QNX. I mean, that's a whole thing.
Was it QNX they went with, or another version of Android? I know QNX is already in the cars, but
I thought Ford went with QNX when they dropped Ford Sync. I thought, anyway.
Yeah, because Ford Sync was Microsoft.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and they ditched it in favor of QNX.
Yeah, it never ever came to the UK. I always liked the sound of that Ford Sync thing, but it never got to the British Isles. A sort of a Diet Coke version of it appeared in some cars, but the full fat Ford Sync never got over here, which is a bit of a shame. So interesting. So our general consensus is, no, we do not believe that Samsung will buy BlackBerry.
Well, I guess it's because BlackBerry don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah. Maybe Samsung just want Alicia Keys. Maybe that's all it is.
That might be worth $7 billion to Samsung.
Well, my only other opinion was potentially that they'd make an offer and Apple would go, nope, but we're having it and buying it for three times as much, and then go, what the hell are we going to do with this?
Yeah. Speaking of Canadian companies, Windows Phone has released its new Lumia. I'm going somewhere with this segue. The new Lumia Denim update, Denim being a Canadian tuxedo. It was announced on the Lumia Conversations.microsoft.com.
I didn't know you guys had that too. That makes me happy.
Lumia Conversations. Does that count as racist? I don't think it counts as racist.
No.
I've already been called a Ouija in the chat room, and that's racist. Announced at LumiaConversations.microsoft.com last Thursday, being the 15th, coming to all Lumia smartphones already running Windows 8.1. The updates include Cortana, Live Folders, Glance Screen, Screen, and improved IE. I think the main updates to Cortana, Chris, you can correct me on this here, but the main updates to Cortana are that it's coming to the UK. There's the demo update doesn't really bring too much extra stuff to Cortana for you guys who already have Cortana.
Right. No, it wasn't a lot in there for us. It just it was expanding it to other markets, which will at the end of the day benefit us, because anything they can do to continue to improve the already great voice recognition by adding more use cases into it, I think that's great. But it wasn't. I was on the beta, so it didn't. It wasn't a ton of surprise or excitement around this. Well, honestly, what folks like me are waiting for is the next flagship. I love my 1520 like nobody business, but I will put a hammer through this thing just because it's a year old. So
you're gonna get the updated Lumia camera though.
You're gonna get it. Yeah, exactly.
No, I have it.
It's in scope.
Oh, so you've already got the denim update.
Because I was running the beta.
Oh, right? Sorry. I thought you meant the beta of Cortana. Yes, okay.
Yeah, no. So I've been using Cortana forever, but I need a new phone. Need a new phone. Okay. Preferably 6 to 8 months, a year. Oh my God, ready to pull whatever. And I cut my hair bald, but I'll find some hairs to pull out of there. So it's just, I just need new devices, man. I need to get on to the next.
Have you seen, there's this new device come out from this tiny little company in Cupertino. It's apparently really, really nice. It's called the iPhone, I think.
Yeah, and they make them in a size which is almost as big as the 1520.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have. I use it to hold a door open when I'm breaking open.
Touché, sir.
I'm a little bit confused about the denim update, because I've already got Cortana, because I've got 1520 with, I think, is it black, which is the previous one? Or beige, yeah. Or cyan? Is it cyan? I can't remember which one I've got. Anyway, I've got... From what I can see, apart from the extra camera functions, I don't think it really offers anything new.
It wasn't that big of an update.
Did you not get live folders though? Where was that? And glance screen. I didn't think you had either of those things before.
Where was live folders? Is that part of denim or was that before?
No,
I've got folders on my desktop.
Certainly the video that's on LumiaConversations.microsoft.com with the awkward lady standing in the denim dress. she definitely mentions live folders and glance screen being two things. Improved IE as well. But
the camera looks quite cool.
You know, I actually really like the functionality that they've added to the camera, whereby a long press on the shutter button starts a video. I would love that on my iPhone, because the amount of times that I go to take a photo and I've got the video activated, or I go to take a video and it's the photo thing that's activated, holding down the button's a nice feature. I like that.
So folders came with denim as well.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be able to launch Cortana by saying hey Cortana, but I haven't seen that work yet, to be honest with you.
That is not true.
Yeah you just activate Cortana when the device is idle by saying hey Cortana. But I think that's only on certain devices as well.
Hey Cortana. Yeah,
the 930. No, it's only on the 930 and the 1520, the ones that have the sensor core.
I've got a 1520.
Okay, that's supposed to work. I'll be honest.
Hey Cortana, because I'm British. Oi.
I haven't gotten that to work for me. So, but I tell you what, the big rumor is that, you know, next week, Microsoft's supposed to announce Windows 10 for mobile. And, or Windows Mobile, whatever they're going to call it. And
Windows 10 mobile for mobile phones, mobile.
that's about right. I think that's about accurate.
I think that's what it's called.
Oh, no, that's the new IE, isn't it? Yeah, Spartan.
And that is interesting to me, because apparently there may be a beta, like a super early beta.
Spartan.
The mobile OS.
Right.
So if you want to jump on that, because they came out with this Insider app, which is very similar to the beta app that existed before. There's nothing in it yet. You're not able to do anything with it, but a lot of speculation is that once they announce it, you'll be able to update your phone to a very early version of Windows Phone 10. When that would reinvigorate me with my 1520, because I love this phone. It's the single greatest phone I've ever owned. And
it's certainly the single biggest.
Most hands definitely. I'm ready for something new.
Yeah,
so it's a new one called Phone. See, before there was an app called Preview for Developers,
right?
And that's what you use to get get on the preview and get all the early betas and stuff like that. Now there's one called Phone Insider. But if you look at the icons, they're exactly the same.
Okay.
So that one, it just, you just have to believe that this is something that's going to lead you into a beta for a Windows Windows Phone 10.
Keep us informed, Chris, because I want to know.
There was
no doubt.
There was something got leaked out of China a couple of days ago. It was supposed to be screenshots of a new Windows 10 on a mobile.
I believe those were fake.
Oh, were they, right? Okay. I didn't actually look into it. I just remember seeing them fly by on Tech Meme or something like that. If you want to see if you can get the Lumia Denim update, your phone should alert you, but if not, and you're on Windows Phone 8.1, because it's only for 8.1, go to Settings and Phone Update and check for updates there. There's a list of devices that it's going to be available for, but I'm not going to read them all out because you're going to have to go and check for them. But mainly the camera updates are going to be in the Lumia Icon, Lumia 1520, Lumia 930, and Lumia 830. We'll get the Lumia camera as well, but that looks quite cool. And finally, just on the iOS news, Russell B. Clayton of the University of Missouri, Glenn Leshner, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, at the University of Oklahoma, and Anthony Almond of the Indiana University published a report called The Extended Eye Self, The Impacts of iPhone Separation on Cognition, Emotion, and Physiology. The idea behind this was they took 40 people who were iPhone users, but this thing could extend over to iPhone. It was very, very iPhone focused, and it was iPhone users, but I think it's applicable for most mobile phone users, Windows Phone or Android. Took 40 phone users, and they were asked to complete 2 5-minute word search puzzles, one with their phone next to them so that they could see it and they could touch it and everything like that. And they put on the second time that they did this word search puzzle, they took the phone into some kind of container 4 feet away. During the third minute of the task, where the user and the phone were separated, the researchers called the participant's phone and let it ring for 20 seconds. The results of that second test were fewer words were found in the puzzle. The reporter, the people doing the test reported stronger feelings of anxiety and unpleasantness, which was corroborated with physical evidence of increased blood pressure and heart rate. And they are calling this phenomenon nomophobia, which is kind of a mix of no mobile phone phobia, nomophobia. Do any of you guys, it doesn't really surprise me to one degree, but then I kind of thought, do you know what? I can live without my phone for 5 minutes and have it ring. I don't have a problem with that. Partly because my wrist tells me who it is and I don't. what's your thoughts on this? I will go to Kelly first because this is an iOS thing.
You know, I don't have a problem with not getting stuff on my phone. Now, I want to know where it is all the time. If it rings and I don't answer it, that's different. Like, oh, I missed a call. I don't have a problem with that. Now, Mr. Kelly, on the other hand, may not know where his phone is. Like, you know, he knows maybe it was in his coat pocket, you know, and his coat's, you know, another floor away, and he doesn't have the sound on his phone most of the time. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't always even hear it ring. You know, at least I can hear it ring and go, oh, someone called me. I'm going to need to call them back when I have a moment, you know, or whatever. So at least at my house, it's not that big a deal. And I'm not anxious if I don't have it, as long as I know where it is.
Yeah.
And it's okay if where it is not where I am. Like if I leave the house without my phone, which happens once in a while, it's weird because I keep my phone in my pocket. And right. So, you know, when I, you know, I'll touch the side of my, you know, side of my leg and go, where's my, oh yeah. Mm. And, you know, as long as I can get over that piece, like it's just because, oh, that's right, I left it at home, or it's charging in my purse, you know, and that's why it's not in my pocket or whatever. As long as I have that, it's not too big a deal to me. Cause I guess I'm not super attached. I mean, I use it all the time,
yeah.
but like right now I know where it is. It's not near me and I'm okay.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten out of the habit of it. I've mentioned in this show before that we have a rule in my house that when I come home from work, I put my phone on charge beside my bed and take my Pebble watch off. And pretty much from when I come home from work to the kids go to bed, I don't have my phone anywhere near me. And mm-hmm. that's fine. It took me a little while to kind of get used to that, but that's fine. Recently, I have discovered that sometimes I just completely forget about my phone for the entire evening. And I will go to bed and all of a sudden there's all these messages on my phone. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. And there's something really nice about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and don't get me wrong, during the day, it never goes far from me. And if it's far from me, I've got my Pebble on my wrist and I see everything that's happening. But at night, there's something quite nice about just in an evening where I'm just relaxing in front of the telly, where I can just chill out. And also, that's not because of the tablet, because I don't use a tablet. I'm not a tablet user, which I know is probably kind of weird for me to have this show and not be a tablet user, but nevertheless. There's something kind of nice about that. I do suffer that weird buzz in your thigh muscle.
Oh, phantom.
Yeah, what'd you call it?
Phantom alert or whatever.
I do suffer from that now and again, but it's certainly been less. So there is something kind of nice about it. I could totally buy this, though. I mean, my one-year-old already has this. She can't accept a phone ringing anywhere. My mother screens calls quite often, and my daughter can't deal with the phone ringing. She's only one, and she will wander over and pick the phone up and give it to my mum as if to say, "Answer the damn phone."
Yeah,
it's incredible. But James, are you attached to your phone like this? Is this something that you can imagine?
No, it's strange because my wife is very much because she. When you're a parent and your kids are out, because, you know, I've got teenage kids, the fact that they are just a phone call away, you're on tenterhooks and you don't want to miss that call. However, I just had this. It just occurred to me this afternoon. My dad called and my phone was on silent and I haven't called him back yet.
Do you want us to stop the show?
No. Or, so yeah, it's getting a bit late now, and he's old. You know, he's gonna be quite cross with me. So it's that kind of thing. To be honest with you, if I my main area of concern is that when I don't know where it is, if I've lost it and it's on silent and I can't find it, I just go, oh, that's 2 hours of my life I'm not going to get back. Because the thing is, I'll carry it around the house and I'll put it down and I'll, you know, hang some washing up or put the bins out or do something. And then I'll walk away and I'll go, hang on, where did I leave my phone? So that's the kind of anxiety I get rather than the fact it's in a little box.
So it's more like ringing. You've lost expensive piece of hardware as opposed to, oh my goodness, I may have missed a text message.
And given how big it is, I'm surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised. But no, I think it's, for me, I a long time ago, it used to be the case where I would get anxiety if any phone rang. Mm. And that whole call centre thing where you've got to answer a phone in a couple of rings. But actually now, all a phone ring for me is, it's a message for me saying, an invitation for me to answer the phone if I'd like to.
Yeah, or it's somebody phoning up to tell you that they've got some, you're eligible for a PPI claim or your boiler repair. You guys don't have PPI over there, do you, in the States? PPI.
What is that?
It's Payment Protection Insurance.
For
so basically, there's this whole thing going on in the UK where it's been going on for a few years. So people are being missold payment protection insurance on loans and car loans and bank loans and house mortgage. I'm assuming it's on mortgages as well. And some piece of legislation came in to say you can claim some of that money back. So all these companies sprouted out of nowhere and just cold call people and go, "Have you taken a loan out in the last 10 years?" Some people accidentally at the beginning said yes, and then they ended up in this whole world of paperwork and crap. And some people get money back, some people don't. But it's a pain in the butt.
And the way these companies make money is they get a cut off the stuff that you're getting back, which you could possibly go and get back if you had the gumption to be able to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I may actually have. I have a funny feeling I had payment protection insurance on one of the early mortgages I took out of my house. But frankly, I can't be arsed. Yeah. Now, if someone rang up, and this is the other thing, I think, if I get a phone call, it may well be a recruitment consultant or a salesperson or, as you say, or a PPI. And I think we've just got phone fatigue in the UK, where we just get so many crap phone calls, despite all these opting out preferences and crap text messages and things. I mean, I have to. The great thing about Windows Phone is you can set notifications for absolutely every application. So you can turn off the ones you don't want and turn on the ones you do. And you can turn, you've got your silent quiet times and things like that. And actually, that means I get control over what the phone's doing to me rather than me waiting for the phone to tell me something. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. Yes. What about you, Chris? Do you have nomophobia?
You know, I think much like James said, that it's situation dependent. If I walk out of the house and I'm like, damn, I forgot my phone. Yeah, you get a little anxious because you're like, if somebody tries to get a hold of me, my job, tries to get kids, whatever. But, you know, if there's a certain pleasure sometimes when you also leave your phone because you're like, you know what, I'm just not going to go get it. I'm good. I won't be bothered. So, yeah. I don't know why they did this study with just the iPhone when I think more accurately it would have been done from any smartphone for people that are attached to it and talking to it all day and using it, talking through it all day. So I don't know.
I know why they did it is because if you say smartphone, nobody cares. If you say iPhone, the free world will click on your story.
Yeah, I guess to some extent that, you know, there may be some water held there, but you know, it's just, they should, but they could have just said phone, you know what I mean? It, so I think, I don't know. I don't want to say it's disingenuous to say to use the iPhone as for their study, but you know,
but it is.
Yeah, for me personally, it's more situational dependent, you know, certainly if you, you know, once you think you lost your phone, even though recovering a phone is significantly easier. And this is a tip for anyone listening. If you don't have your contacts in whatever email you're using, Gmail, Outlook, and that's the extent of what you should be using, unless you're paying for like Office 365 or Google Apps. Because I don't want anybody using Yahoo email. That's just stupid. But if you don't have your contacts in there, take off one of your shoes and self-kick yourself in the shin. Because
absolutely.
It's silly that the amount of people that I run into that still have phone contacts on their phone. And I go into my local AT&T store and people in there, you know, hooking up the phones to the machine so they can transfer contacts. Like, folks, put it in your email. Take the time.
Have you seen those Facebook posts where people say, I've lost my contacts, so could you text me your number, please? I see these people who've done that. My contacts are on. What?
I think is if they've got the Facebook app installed on most smartphones, that generally pulls down people's contact details anyway.
That... if they have it listed, but just, I mean,
that's true.
It's still, you know, there's generally every smartphone has an option to put, you know, to take the contacts and put it on a SIM card. And then you can then import from the SIM card into, I know on Windows Phone you can import from the SIM card into your contacts and it'll actually say which email address you want me to store it in. But you got to get your contacts into email, folks, because it's just easier to switch phones. You lose the phone, who cares? You send a wipe notice, you download, you get your new phone, log into your email, and bam, all your contacts are back. You know, so we got, you know, it's just surprising to me that a lot of folks are still having to manually re-enter contacts and stuff like that. I've been using contacts since I had the MPX 200. So it's just,
I mean, I started at least backing up my contacts many, many years ago, like before years started with two many, many years ago.
Right.
And I think, it was,
you know, you just have to.
Yeah. So just a little tip that I like to give out periodically to remind folks that if you haven't done it yet, you know, it's the new year.
Definitely.
It's the new hotness. 2015. Is it 15?
Yeah, 2015.
15.
So, get your contacts off your dumb phone and put it into. And, you know, I don't like to promote Gmail because I'm not a fan of Google by any sense of the imagination. But if that's what you're using, go ahead and use it.
Yeah. Now, Chris, let's be fair. We're talking to a level listener here. Find someone you care about. Tell them. They already, the listener already knows. Yeah. It's the people they care about.
It's new year. Make it your new year resolution to save somebody's contacts.
And if you're an IT person for another person and you haven't made them do that yet, that's a rib punch.
I do need to give my dad a call.
I've just noticed, sorry, I've not looked at the chat room for a little while. Kelly, thank you very much. The company's name that I was trying to remember, who's a subsidiary of BlackBerry, is Certicom, not whatever I said, which was close, but nowhere near that. And also, for some reason, and I appreciate the sentiment, Doc, but Doc has just sent me his allegiance to Scotland in the chat room. It's very kind of you, but I'm assuming it was in context at the time, but I can't remember what it was related to. Doc just says as well, it was a totally bull spit. That could happen with any phone. They're just playing iPhone because it'll make for better, new and easier pickups by new stations. Mm-hmm. And he also says that apparently PPI does exist in the States and it's apparently an infomercial. So sorry, Doc, okay. I completely missed all of those things. I didn't have the chat room open. Apologies. Cool. This program and all the others on the British Tech Network are sponsored by the fantastic people at UK2. They really are superb. If you want anything to do with websites, do you want domains, you want to host a website, you want to make a website from scratch and don't know anything about code, that's fine. They have website builders and things like that as well. Just head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com. Click on the sponsors link and you will see all the awesome stuff there and all the awesome discounts that UK2 can bring you. Just use the click through on there so that they know that we sent you. use those discount codes. You can use as many as you want at a time and get some fantastic money off some of their services. We use them at British Tech Network. They currently provide all of the hosting for British Tech Network. You can go back to all the old shows. So way back to the, you know, the distant past, almost about a year ago now, I reckon. I've not actually checked that. It should be about a year ago, I think, of the Pocket Show. Back to the early days of the Big Show, back when it was Bagel Tech and the Mac Show and things like that. Absolutely superb. So if you want to go back and see any of those, that's thanks to UK2 and thanks to your support of the good people at UK2. The other thing I want to mention is Patreon. If you head to patreon.com and just do a quick search for British Tech Network, you will find us there. You have been sponsoring us and backing us and things like that in your droves, and we really appreciate it. It's allowed us to set up some fairly fantastic studios and do lots and lots of other cool things around the network that we would have never been able to do without your support. We really, really appreciate it. We've, of course, got the new show back thanks to your support on Patreon as well. Kyle's doing a fantastic job over the new show there. It's really good, and we can see by the downloads and the great feedback that we're getting that you're loving it too. So thank you very much. And if you haven't already and you've been meaning to, there's no better time than present. Go on over to patreon.com and chuck us whatever you can afford. If you can't afford anything, that's also cool. We'd just love to have you around. Head on over to iTunes or something like that and give us a review or something. It doesn't cost anything and really helps our ranking. So thank you. Thank you very much. Now, do you guys have some cool picks for us? James, I will direct my gaze upon you first, sir.
And I will welcome your gaze. Welcome, gaze.
Yeah.
Right. I like random things. It was on a British Tech Next show, big show, years ago, possibly now, that I introduced the world to Rando, which is one where you take a photo of something and you just send it to a random person, and a little while later, yeah, you'll get a random picture back. Well, here's some more random stuff. Have you heard of wakie.com? www.wakie.com. What this is a service, and I was having a bit of a think about this before I came on air to think, should I actually share this while I'm actually recording the podcast? I thought I'd probably better not, because it is a bit intrusive. What you do is you can either be a waker or a wakey. And I know, you okay, can set an alarm, and that sends your alarm time to the central server. And then if you want to wake somebody up, you go into the application and you find out if someone needs to be woken up. And you press a little button and you get 60 seconds to wake them up. And it rings their phone and you can send them a little voice message or a video message to say, welcome to the new day. And you can have a short conversation with him, and then that's it, completely cut off.
Wow.
They are total strangers and your face and voice is the first thing they experience that day, and vice versa. Ooh,
that could be so well abused.
Totally. But isn't it fascinating and interesting?
Okay, yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
I'm with you. Idea. Yeah,
it's going to get abused and will already have been abused. I mean, it's got Snapchat written all over it.
It does. But I might be having a bit of fun with that. I'm having fun with that later. Oh, chat roulette.
Chat roulette was what I was looking for, not yes. Snapchat. Chat roulette. Yeah.
And the other
I'm imagining a hybrid. What's the name of that dating app that basically people send penises to?
Tinder,
yeah. I'm imagining some sort of Tinder wakey hybrid here.
I can imagine people waking up and not having a good start to the day. But I think, obviously, if you don't like that, you press the button and they get kicked off, in theory. Anyway, it's a slightly more... It's fairly random. But one of the things I do is I'm involved in a radio station, and the blind and partially sighted community, or the visually impaired community, have a number of internet radio stations, and I've got to know a fair few of them quite well. And what they've done is a bunch of people have collected together to make an application. Unfortunately, it's only for iOS devices. If you go to www.bemyeyes.org, BEMYEYES, so Be My Eyes, you can download an application, and if a blind person or a partially sighted person can't make out what something is, they press a button on it, and a volunteer will be the other end who can see and will tell them what it is.
Nice.
And this is great for, you know, obviously day-to-day things, but even these captures where you've got something on your screen that a visually impaired person literally can't see because it is a picture of a red cat and there's no description around it, and there's no alternative. And I often get sort of Facebook messages from people saying, could you, you know, I've sent you a screen grab, can you tell me what it is? It's a very useful tool for people who are visually impaired. And it's, you know, and it's it's a fairly social thing, completely random, and it doesn't take up much time. You just get a little buzz to say, can you tell me what this is, please?
That's pretty cool.
So there you go, two random things of varying quality.
Very nice. Okay. Kelly, what's your pick this evening, please?
Okay, so this was also my pick on the Mac show last week, but there's a mobile flavor, and so that's why I want to make sure that I get coverage over here with Forward as well, and that is the new release of PDF Pen from Smile Software, which is awesome. I will let you guys know I'm working for them part of the time as their social media person. So I'm going to be upfront about that. I'm not trying to be nefarious at all. I love PDF Pen. I've loved it for a long time. Smile is a great company. My dear friend Gene McDonald of App Camp for Girls fame was one of the founders over there. And PDF Pen is amazing for a bunch of reasons. It's great on your Mac. It's great on iOS. And it's the real magic of it is that you can use it to edit a PDF. So if somebody sends you something, you know, and you have to sign it and return it, it used to be in the olden days, you would have to find a way to print it out. And then once you printed it out, you would sign it. And then you would have to find a way to scan it and find a way to get that information back to the person who needs it. So, like, you know, all the stuff about the paperless office is kind of not true in a lot of ways. Yeah. So this gives you the ability to bust out that PDF, edit, you know, you can edit, so you can go in and sign, you know, take your stylus or your finger or whatever, sign it. And then once it's signed, you can send it back immediately. You don't have to go through that intermediary step anymore. It's fantastic. There's a bunch of new features that have come to it with version 7, and there's a lot of great stuff happening with it right now. So you should definitely check out PDF Pen. There's also PDF Pen Pro, and it's super cool stuff. The bonus pick I'm going to give you guys is an iOS only pick. A couple of years ago, there was a Kickstarter project called Pixel Press Floors, and it's this, and the Kickstarter was funded. And so the actual game came out last year, and it's called Pixel Press Floors. And what's cool about it is you take graph paper. They have like a free one you can download, and you draw out a level of a platformer game, like a Super Mario Brothers or Donkey Kong kind of game. And you draw it how you want it to be. And you use different little symbols to represent different things. And then you take a picture of it with your iPad, and it transforms that drawing into a playable level of game. And it's awesome. And it's super cool because you can then share those levels with other people, and other people can play those levels. You can play other people's levels. It's super fun. And the thing that I dig about it is that there's a little bit of sort of learning that goes on with that. Like, your level may be impossible, you know, and you want something that's going to be kind of hard, but not super easy. You know, there's a lot of game theory that kind of goes into this. So you have to sort of, you know, nobody's going to like your level if nobody can complete it. And nobody's going to like your level if everybody can. So there's a lot that goes into that, which I think is super cool. And then now they have a new app that came out today that is also $4.99. It's $4.99 in the US store. I'm not sure what it is over there, but it is rolling out internationally today. And it's called Adventure Time Game Wizard. Mm-hmm. And it's all the characters from Adventure Time. So Finn and Jake come across this sketchbook, and the sketchbook is magic. And so anything you draw on the sketchbook comes to life. And so it's this same Pixel Press sort of technology that's behind it. And, you know, you go through adventures and you have to help them like draw things out, and you have to sort of compete in this game. And there's other stuff that's sort of going on. There's like a storyline that goes along with it. I don't want to give anything away. So definitely check it out. I think it's super cool. And their website is projectpixelpress.com.
Cool. This Adventure Time, is this a new thing? I all of a sudden have just started seeing it about the place. I've never actually, I don't know what it is. I think it's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a recent cartoon. It's been around for a couple of years.
Right.
And it's fun. And the thing that I really like about it is that it's not mean. Right. Which sounds weird, but it's sort of slapstick and funny and kind of random, but there's not like meanness in it, you know, toward anybody. And that's kind of nice. It's a nice change from some stuff.
Is it like a grown-up cartoon like Bob's Burgers, South Park, or is it more like a kind of a Simpsons kind of grown-up kid cartoon type thing?
No, total kid show.
It's very whimsical.
Oh, right,
isn't
it's a kid
it?
Show, right, okay.
Yeah. Oh, but it's got a cult following.
Yes, among adults. Yeah. It's sort of like SpongeBob. Like, yeah, it's a kid's show, but a lot of grown-ups like to watch it. So, yeah, and they like to watch it because it's weird and fun, and it's sort of clever. It does that thing that, like, Rocky and Bullwinkle did in the old days where, you know, it was funny because Bullwinkle fell down a lot, but it was also funny because, you know, at one point they were looking for this yacht that was made of rubies that belonged to Omar Khayyam, you know, and stuff right, like that.
Okay,
so,
okay. Yeah. I get it. Right. Okay. Oh,
right. Yeah, so get they it. Do, they do clever bits like that too.
Cool. Yep. The Pixel Press, just for people to be aware, unless they've changed this, but you need to have a fairly new iPad for this to work. From memory, it has to be a Retina iPad Mini and newer, or iPad Generation 4 or newer, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Because I know certainly the only tablet I have, well, a number of tablets, but the only iPad I have is an iPad Mini 1, and it definitely didn't work with that.
Yeah.
So it has to be newer than that. But it's cool. It looked awesome. I was really gutted. It was Adam Christensen that told me about it. I think he had it as a pick in the Mac show ages ago.
When it turned into a thing, I think he was the one who picked it. Yeah.
It looks pretty cool, though. So it's grand. Chris, what can you amaze us with this evening?
I don't know if I'll amaze you, but I'm definitely going to get a cool out of you. Okay. So my pick this week is in a little app called Push Bullet. And I don't know if anybody, how many people use it, but oftentimes
I know Push Bullet. Yeah.
You'll find yourself on your desktop computer and you're like, oh man, I got this link I need to send to my friends. And but your friends are in WhatsApp or they're in GroupMe or whatever chat app you use on your phone. And so you're always emailing yourself links to your phone so you can then take, or from your phone to your desktop so you can, you know, send it to somebody else. Well, what Push Bullet is a little app that allows you to quickly send links to multiple places. So essentially it'll run on your desktop. You just kick it up. You can send yourself a little note from your desktop if you want to, or you can just paste in the link and add some information about the link. And then within seconds, it'll be on your phone. And then you can copy the link out of your phone and then do whatever you want. So instead of having to email yourself all the time, you can open up email, put your address in, link it, and you just fire a Push Bullet, put it in and hit push. You can even choose which device you want to send it to. So you can have multiple devices in this little sync that you got going on here. And again, it's both directions. So whatever device you want to send to the rest of the devices, doesn't matter. And the cool thing about this app is that not only is there a desktop app for it, but it's on Windows Phone, it's on iPhone, it's on Android. And this thing is everywhere. And the guys have done a good job. They just recently updated the desktop app. It looks really slick. So you can send files depending on the device. I think all the devices support sending files. So whether you're sending yourself a note or a link or a file, check out Push Bullet. And I believe on Android, it supports notifications. So notifications that come to your phone, it'll pop up on Push Bullet on your desktop. So if you find yourself always emailing yourself links and little pieces of information and stuff like that, check out Push Bullet.
Nice. That looks really cool. How much is it?
Free.
Oh, wow. How do they do that? Do they push ads to you occasionally?
No ads.
That's
cool.
See, this worries me about these kind of things. This looks really cool. And if there's no ads, how are they making money? And in which case, I want to give them something so they don't go away if I really like it. I always worry about those kind of things.
Right. Well, use it while you can before they go away or start adding ads. But it's definitely a free app. And it works great. I use it all the time.
It's really cool.
I've just seen it's got an API. This is something that I might need because my home automation network is struggling with this API. Now, if I can get that
exactly
to work with
if
this,
for.
Then that. Really? Cool.
Mm-hmm. We use it to, how did we set it up? I remember doing it, but I don't remember what the actual order of gyrations ended up being. But it uses it to send notification to my phone and Mr. Kelly's phone when lights go on and off. Like when we have some stuff that's some of the lighting, like in the backyard and in the front yard, that's automated. And so when those kick on and when those kick off, we get notification about them. And the way we did it was through Push Bullet.
Nice.
That may well be I need.
I need to look into home automation. That's my New Year's resolution was to, I don't have any home automation.
Well, I don't know about Chris, but I'm here to help.
Yeah, I will definitely be giving you a shout about that kind of stuff, both of you, so or all of you actually for that matter. But I don't have anything like that, and it's something that is completely missing in my life, I feel. But
I guess the only problem with home automation is there are so many ways to do it.
Exactly.
You know, there's more ways than I've got fingers on both hands, really.
Yeah, it's It's complicated to get, you know, you really have to sort of pick a side. It's a very Coke and Pepsi debate in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I was listening. You were talking about that on Daily Observations. It would have been Friday, I think. It occurred to me that maybe I've done the right thing by just being quite lazy about setting it up. And if I hang off another couple of months, there's the potential, if you have read the tea leaves correctly, that I may actually be right on time for getting the fully Apple one, if your theory is correct.
Whoa.
Well, and there's other things that you can do. In the meantime, there's stuff that's pretty lightweight, like Wemo you can do, and the Philips Hue bulbs, you can do those. And those don't require anything, because those are compatible with a lot of different central systems. So,
however,
you know, whatever you ultimately pick, it's entirely possible that it'll be that those will continue to work for you.
If you ever have to replace your router or change your password, Allison ran into some issue with her. So just a little thing out there. Nothing.
You do a factory resale on your bulbs. Now that's really come to something, hasn't it?
You know, but I think I've told it many times. I went full Insteon in my house, and I absolutely love what they've done and what the options available to me through them are.
Cool. Okay. I will have a look at that. My pick very quickly is the Q card case for iPhone 6 Plus. You may remember a number of times I have ranted about the fact that I really want the spec credit card case for the iPhone 6 Plus. I had it for my 4S, not my 4S, sorry, my 5S, and I loved it. And it was actually one of the things that made me stop and go, do I really want to upgrade to a 6 Plus? Because I will lose this. But I love that case that much. Just, I hate carrying a wallet and things like that. So I came across this Q card case, and I have to say, Kelly, this is I have to give you some credit here. I believe it was in the Mac Show Christmas special, I think, or it could have been the Big Show Christmas special. I can't remember. And I was having my rant about the spec cases, and you told me to go to a website, which off the top of my head, I've completely forgotten. I think it was Wireless.
Oh, Wirecutter. The Wirecutter.
Yeah, yep. And then that website recommended the Q card case for iPhone 6 Plus as the best credit card case for the 6 Plus. The only place I could find it, though, was on Amazon.com. And we had a conversation on the Mac Show or Big Show, whichever it was at Christmas time, about that British people cannot order from Amazon.com. But it had automatically logged me in, and it said that I could order this item. So being the completely non-risk-averse person that I am, I just went, okay, bye. Let's see what happens here.
Hit it.
And ordered it. It then told me I was going to receive it on the first week of January. I said that on the show, and everybody went, you're not going to get that the first week of January. Sure enough, it arrived first week of January.
Nice.
Absolutely superb. I didn't have to pay import or anything like that, because it seemed to come from, I can't remember, I should have actually kept the box, but the box wasn't a standard Amazon box. It was like Amazon Global, it was called. It arrived, I paid in dollars, I got it delivered through my normal Amazon account, and it got delivered when it said it was going to be delivered. So the lesson there, people, is if we talk about something on a show, or you hear somebody talk about something that is only on Amazon.com, check to see if you actually are eligible to buy it. Because in some situations you are. Your British Amazon account does actually work on Amazon.com. And I would imagine it works the opposite way around as well. If there's something on the .co.uk that listeners in America want to buy, I would imagine it'll work the same way, the opposite. But I was blown away with that. It arrived, and I've got to be honest, it's not as good as the spec case, but it's the best credit card case that I have found. So Wirecutter was completely right for the 6 Plus. Basically all it is it's a very thin plastic case that has a little bulge at the back with a little kind of leather pouch, or fake leather, I would imagine. And you slide, I've got two credit cards and my driving license in there. And it's got a cool little feature that I've never ever used. I used the first time I got it to go, oh, that's interesting. It's got a little slit along the back that you actually push a credit card in at sort of 90 degree angles to the phone, which allows it to create a little stand. By using your credit card in the back there. But it's cool. And the lesson there is, sometimes it pays to take a risk. All good. So that's our show. I just have one thing to mention before I close the show off. A very good friend to the network. We learned he passed away. Eric Lanigan passed away early last year. We just learned that on Friday, and it's been a big blow to the network. Safe to say, everybody on the shows who had anything to do with Eric or knew Eric is deeply saddened by the news. We have opened, after you and speaking to Eric's father, we've opened a book of condolences on the BritishDayNetwork.com. If you just search for Remembering Eric, it's actually the top article just now. And if you have anything to mention, mention it there. If you just want to have a read through and remember Eric, he was a great guy. He's going to be a big miss to the podcasting community. Very, very sad that he's passed away. He was on the first podcast I was ever on, so I will always remember him like that. He was a lovely bloke, and I personally am very, very sad that he's sadder than news on Friday. So if you want to head on over there and offer your condolences, if you don't and just want to remember him in your own way, that's cool too. But I just wanted to mention him. I'm not going to leave, just that's all I'm going to say, because I know Eric would want the show to go on and whatnot, but I just wanted to wish my condolences to his family and things like that. So that's all there is to say. James, where can we find you on the internet?
The best place is over on the Twitters, SYZYGY.
And Kelly?
You can find me on Twitter as Verso. You can also find me over at MacObserver.com and elsewhere on the British Tech Network.
And Chris, where can people find you?
You can always find me every single week doing the SMR podcast. Host, brothers, friends, fun. And then you can always find me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley.
Oh, and announcement. No, because I just realized we've done we're back on a regular schedule over at the After Show, and the After Show podcast at aftershowpodcast.com is Mike Rose and I talking about the news of the week, not all of it tech, and we're always under an hour, so you should check that out too.
We're normally under an hour, not today. You can find me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter and on The Gamer Show and The Pocket Show and occasionally The Big Show and The Mac Show on this network. And I wish you all the best. And we will see you in 2 weeks. I assure you we'll have another show out in 2 weeks. I will do my very best. Good night.